Well, welcome to the True Man Podcast with Mike Van Pelt, the comeback coach, helping you gain peace, clarity, and understanding in your walk with God as a man, a father, and a spouse. Hey, get involved with the show. Send your email to mike@truemanlifecoaching.com. If you're wondering what's gone adrift in my masculine soul and asking, is there more to life? This is where it begins. This is the True Man Podcast. Well, welcome to the True Man Podcast. This is an invitation to radical reconstruction of a man's masculine heart and soul in a place of safe community where we dare to ask questions deep-seated inside a man and explore ways to help you become a better man, a better son, a better dad, and a better spouse. Well, welcome back to the True Man Podcast. Always great to have you listening to another great podcast. And in today's episode, we are going to embark on what can be a profound journey for a man, examining a topic close to my heart, really what True Man Life Coaching, one of the things that it's about, the importance of a man leading their families well, all for the glory of God. And today's guest knows this topic well, he is the founder of Zoe, Michael Thompson. But before we get into that, what I want to do today is pray over today's podcast. So pray with me now. Lord, I pray that this podcast will find its way into the heart of a man that is searching for his identity, for his greatness, for his heart. And I pray that it leads a man to take action on himself, not just for himself, but for his family and for his glory, of the glory of his calling in life, Lord. Lord, we know there are men out there searching for freedom in their lives, and I hope that this podcast will help them see the light, a way to begin moving forward to become a king in the kingdom, the king that they were called to be, Lord God. We pray this in your holy name, amen. All right, well now with that, let's get on to today's podcast guest, Michael Thompson, and I'll be back with you with some additional commentary after the interview. So enjoy our conversation. Hey, everybody, welcome to the True Man Podcast. Now, have you ever had a moment of clarity in your life that sticks out to you like you're never going to forget it? It's that lightning bolt type moment where God sends you a package and you get to begin unpacking what's in that gift. Well, I had that very thing happen to me. It was at a men's retreat in Goshen, Virginia, with about 300 other men in the spring of 2019. And when today's podcast guest stood in front of the room and said, today we're gonna play three worship songs, and I want you to think of them as God saying these words to you. Well, the only song that I remember that morning was a song by Josh Groban entitled, You Are Loved, Don't Give Up. And I really needed to hear those words in that moment. And the results are still playing out here today. I'm still unpacking it here almost 40 years later. But what a gift. So I want you to welcome to the podcast today, Michael Thompson. Now, Michael is the founder and director of Zoe. It's a nonprofit's mission to encourage men and women and marriages by creating tools, resources, and community spaces that invite people to experience inner healing and intimate connection with God and others. Now, he's the author of a new book, King Me, and I'm just thrilled to have him on the podcast today. So, Michael, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. I had not heard that particular story about Josh Groban and that morning. I love that because it happened to me. There's a reason I wanted to play that song, and I remember the first time I heard it. If Jesus sings, you know, then he might sound a lot like Josh Groban, maybe. We'll see. But I thought,
we hope.
Oh my gosh, he is singing to me through that song, and I needed it. So I love that you shared that in the opening. And man, it's good to be with you, Mike. Yeah, since was 19 your first event?
2019 was okay. My first event, and there probably would have been a couple more in there, but as you're well aware, COVID had other ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, we got all shut down.
And so life has really changed for me since that 2019. Much of it really was not predictable, but what I'm grateful for was the opportunity to be exposed to that kind of environment with all those men and begin that healing process. And, you know, that so many men, and we're going to talk about that today, but maybe we should start with you, because you just didn't start one day and go, hey, I'm going to do this Zoe thing and invite men. And, you know, there had to be a little bit of healing go on with you as well. So
I was perfectly content with my spiritual coma that I was in. And kind of like Neo, right, in the Matrix.
Oh yeah,
a bit plugged in, and I think you can be a Christian and still be plugged into the Matrix. And I think that's part of my story, Mike. But yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I loved, you know, the journey. Grew up in a faith family, Christian. Went to church a lot. You know, I could say I did a lot of time.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, we were Sunday morning, Sunday night. You know, Wednesday night. I mean, it was just a very, and a lot of it really good, you know, from those middle school and high school years. Church was quite, it was a place that not only did my family and I, brothers, identify with, but a place that we also learned some of the things that we needed to unlearn, if I'm honest, you know, and service and obedience were a part of that. Sin management was a part of that.
I have to laugh because this all sounds a little bit like my story.
Yeah, I get it. Talked. And so when I think that plays into, you know, your question about kind of my personal journey, or, you know, hopefully any of us, right, our own evolution in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And the invitation to become more, you know, not necessarily do more, but be more. And so I really, with athletics in our family and college basketball and stuff, honestly, Mike, there was a trading in of doing and accomplishing and achieving, because it wasn't just the faith journey. That's kind of what a man faces and what he learns, that I'm valuable based on what I do. I'm valuable based on my contribution. I'm valuable, or I'm not valuable, or in some ways, you know, the conditions are that if I can't do something valuable, then I'm not good, you know, or I'm not good in that space or in that moment. And so I had a lot of that kind of carried in carrying me or weighing me down probably in the Christian journey, and got very committed to Christ, accepted him several times on the journey. Did as many upgrades as you thought a phone. You thought a phone had upgrades. I mean, I was upgrading every chance I could in my Christianity. And so then was on staff with a wonderful organization, Campus Crusade, 17 years. My wife and I met on staff, lots of good things. And yet there was a pivoting moment. We all have them, you know, whether it's the Josh Groban song or there's just a season where, you know, things change. And so I'm on staff. I can do my job as a professional Christian. loved what we were doing on staff. And I run in back then in 99, 2000, I run into the book Wild at Heart that ran into many, many men, many men. I was a promise keeper in the Promise Keepers movement. Yeah. And I was a wild man the next decade in Wild at Heart. But John Eldredge was talking about things there that were different than keeping seven promises.
Oh man.
Yeah. He was talking about some deeper heart issues. And I think one is important. When you're in elementary school or you're learning simple ways of how things work as a boy, your dad can say, because I told you so, and he can say it kindly or he can say it meanly. But the bottom line is because he's the authority. So, you know, stay right next to me. You know, do not cross the street. Do not fall into that pit. You know, So there's things that are really important at an elementary level in your journey. And so, but it's not good. You know, what he needs to teach you how to do, and he should, is to look both ways rather than just don't and do and do and don't, but to learn for yourself how to watch for traffic and move across that street. So take that into the spiritual journey and the faith journey. So I think I was being invited to move from some obedience, which is not a bad thing, keeps you out of a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
If you'll just obey. But to learn how to walk with God and to learn how to hear his voice. So John starts to, you know, poke at a very fragile faith construct that I had that was kind of very, very simplified. There's the cross, you're a sinner, you're the problem. Jesus had to save you.
Yeah.
And he did. And you should be thankful. And now you should obey. And I think that can get you through a lot of the early years of the faith journey, learning the Bible, learning the principles of faith, you know, all of that stuff, Mike. But
it catches up to you later on in life.
It did. Yeah. And it did. It can run you over. Because I was very dry. My heart, I would say, was a bit of a desert and parched and looking for not service. I couldn't tell you then, but I wasn't being sustained well by service and obedience.
Boy, that sounds so familiar. And I think that's a lot of guys.
I started wondering. I thought, well, I know I'll go to seminary. I'll double down. I'm going to go to seminary and get more serious about my faith. And I'm at the time. Yeah. How old am I? 30. Yeah. I'm 35 when I'm doubling down, because all I knew was more sit-ups and push-ups, more commitment, you know, get more serious.
Yeah.
And even though I didn't find intimacy with God in seminary, I did find more knowledge. God kind of circles me with Wild at Heart at 38, 39. And I start even considering this idea, right, Mike, of intimacy.
Yeah.
And I realized I know a lot about God, but I'm not sure I enjoy him and he enjoys me. And that was that's where the hole started to get poked in a very fragile kind of faith construct. And I'm so glad it did. I mean, I very much believe it was God kind of saying, all right, enough upgrades. Let's downgrade. Let's get over here into a space of, I love you, Michael. I just love you. Why do you love me? I just do. I can't not. You're my son. You're my image bearer. These are things I'm starting to not just read about. I'm starting to experience, like you did in the Josh Groban song.
Yeah.
I'm starting to hear it in the woods on walks. I'm starting to feel it when I'm driving.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that we could kind of tune our hearts to that space with God. And that was the beginning of that's how Zoe really started. Was I needed eventually to move from one space in a wonderful ministry like Campus Crusade and into kind of another space, which is what brought us together and connected us in an event. And then, you know, we've had a few porch times and we've had a few gathering spaces and things like that, Mike. But that's kind of how, in a nutshell, it started. And officially, I did go through seminary. I got a biblical counseling degree, but along the way, I really got an intimacy degree by just learning how to listen to God and walk with the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit. And so that's how Zoe started. And that was back in 06. So we've been paddling on that in that canoe since.
Well, I'm glad you're paddling, because, you know, when I started down this trail of being a part of men's group, so we'll do our Haynes Maxwell shout out. It was Haynes that actually introduced Paul Bailey and I to Zoe. And, you know, we started checking it out. And And, you know, the beautiful part about having somebody in your life that kind of keeps you accountable or goes, well, is this a crazy idea? We go to this retreat in Virginia, or is it, oh, there's my thumb. It's a good, you know what? And Paul and I just kind of, well, let's do this. And we had no expectation. We had no idea what was going on. I'd never been at anything like that in my life. And, you know, I grew up in the Lutheran church, and it was funny because I said, it felt like every time I sat down, it didn't matter. I was floating all over. There was somebody from behind me shouting amen or something. And I was like ducking my head. I thought rounds of fire were coming over my shoulder, because, you know, we don't perform like that in the Lutheran church. We're pretty stoic, you know. And but it wasn't the song was kind of the epiphany moment, but it was the entire weekend, that opportunity to be around guys that were all searching for that more, you know, that freedom, that intimacy. And that I had missed in very much in the same way that you had in your life. And it really opened up things for me. And I went, well, how do I help guys? You know, this is a shame. You know, we can't have guys wandering around wondering what to do, you know? So I totally get it. And I encourage people all the time to check out Zoe's website and the podcast, and because it was such a gift for me. And and now I get to pass it on in my own kind of true man community.
Yeah, I love it. Love what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, love that.
So talk about Zoe, and then we'll get into the book a little bit, but but I want people to hear about Zoe because of what you guys provide for not just men, but for women and couples. Right. There's a lot going on there, and we don't want to forget our elder sages either.
Right? That's right. The old elder sages, those with wise and discerning hearts. Yeah, Zoe, you know, the story of Zoe is, it's the Greek word for life. When Jesus says, I came that you might have life, that word is Zoe, and it means a quality and a depth of life. C.S. Lewis had I found it later after kind of the Zoe word and its meaning hit me. C.S. Lewis talks in Mere Christianity about the difference between bios and Zoe, a biological and the physical and Zoe. And he says in the bios life, there's an upkeep by oxygen and nutrition, you know, and warmth. And there's some things you have to do to upkeep but in the Zoe life, he says, it's a life that's kept up in intimacy with God. And it was just that day that I kind of came across it in Mere Christianity. I really thought it with my tongue in cheek. C.S. Lewis is stealing our stuff, man. That's incredible.
He didn't miss much, did he?
How great. How awesome is that? So anyway, but that was so Zoe is, you know, when I know in your coaching space, you know, you do ask people, what's your why?
Yeah.
And so what's Zoe's why? And, you know, our website answer is because it's our heart's answer. And that was the discovery of we were made for more. Why does Zoe exist? Because we have seen and experienced that we were made for more life, more love, more freedom. And that's what the kingdom life really is. It's an exploration of those things. It's a walking with the Trinity in those spaces. And so what we do, and you mentioned it in the opening, we love to create environments and resources and have relationships, right, with people that invite them and encourage them and equip them to walk intimately with God and each other. So it's the love God, love each other, you know, idea of when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And so in doing that, we're supposed to have this abundant life, a full life.
Yeah.
And honestly, I go back to those earlier chapters, Mike, and I did feel like somehow I missed the bus on full and abundant life. I got the service life.
There's a bus for that?
Yeah. Who knew I had a bus pass? I didn't know I had a bus pass.
No.
So, you know, getting on the wrong bus and ending up in the wrong place. But all of that to say, yeah, I really, that's kind of how Zoe came about. And it's spelled Zoweh. It was really, really fun. There's a phonetic in I think the vines, and it said like Yahweh, you know, it's spelled Zoe, but then people were calling us Zoe, and I used to have a dog named Zoe. I just couldn't do it, so we went with the phonetic of Yahweh, you know, Zoe. It's pronounced like Yahweh, and so that's how we got started back in 06, and you know, kind of transferred our attention to that space. And then over time, you know, we were kind of Ransom Heart, Wild at Heart allies in the beginning. And then over time, you know, you discover things in the kingdom. You know, you can use other people's maps, and you should. Yeah. You should. Other people have written about podcasting. Other people have written about coaching. Other people have written and left, you know, good teaching and good maps on lots of things in the kingdom. But, you know, what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to get to kind of build that foundation of trust and then go exploring with God and discover for yourself that these things are true. And they're not just true because Paul or James wrote them, or John or C.S. Lewis wrote them. They're true, and you get to discover them, you know, for yourself in that intimate way. And so that's what we'd love to do, is try to help people, you know, get that equipment and that encouragement of, I think he wants to talk to you too. I mean, he's not mad. He's not upset with you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, whatever might be in the way of receiving God's love, we love helping people kind of get some of that stuff out of the way, so that they can experience the love and life of God.
Well, it's important stuff. I mean, we all have to take a look in the mirror and, you know, so you're probably, if you're doing it and you're taking a good hard look, you're probably not going to like everything you see.
Hey, yeah.
It's an important step in your faith life. And speaking of that, I'm going to hold this up for the people. Camera, you know, if you're seeing this on camera, you can see I've got Michael's latest book, King Me. And I think this is an important book from, first of all, I just love the analogy of King Me, quite honestly, and playing checkers. That's just cool in and of itself. But, you know, this book really digs into a little bit further in some of your previous works, like Heart of a Warrior. We're digging into manhood here and masculinity. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when we have to go down this road and we start talking about masculinity and where it's at, it's not in a great place. And so unfortunately. And so but I think the important part is that we have great books and material that we can look at and go, okay, if it's not in a great place, or am I not in a great place, how can I get to a great place, and what resources can I use, and what's available? So talk about King Me and how that came about.
Well, I think, you know, everybody should write a book or two, honestly, a pamphlet of some brief, somebody, because
I'm right there with you, Michael. You know, I'm in the process of,
I love it. Good. Well, do it. And it is hard. It's hard work, and articulating, you know, what you feel and what you see and what you think and what you're hopeful for. So that's the work of whether you're journaling or it becomes something that gets, you know, more in a published space. But I just want to say that, Mike, because it is.
Yeah.
So when I think about authorship, you are sharing from some conviction and from some place that you feel something pretty significant about. So I say that to say King Me is a part of my story, you know, 3 years in writing and organizing thought and trying to help, you know, a reader not get lost on all the bunny trails that he could, you know, with, you know, all the things that are happening to us on our journey. So to line that, to lay that out and to line that, that outline up to walk in that. So yeah, that's, it, it came out in this, in March in, of 23. So probably 3 years or so in the making, but even
I thought was a long time until I started writing.
Yeah. Cause you write a book. If you go into that process of publishing like that, you might write it 6 or 7 times, you know, and then that's before you get some real deep help, you know, in that editing process. I'm not a great writer. I have people, my friend Bob is so good at the technical part, but I do love telling stories. I do love inviting people into seeing their stories.
Yeah.
And trying to encourage them that their lives matter and what's happened to them matters. And definitely, Mike, as we know, what you've concluded about what's happened to you may not be accurate.
Oh,
may not be. Maybe.
Chances are pretty high. It's
so, yeah. What are the odds, right? We ask this all the time. What are the odds you've interpreted your life accurately? You know, that is a great
invitation.
I use
that question a lot because, you know, what I found is it's one of those questions where it just stops so many people dead in their tracks when they hear it, if they have never heard that question, because, you know, it's like, you can't help but pause and go, ooh, well, what's
that mean?
Yeah. What if that's really true?
Right. Yeah.
So I use that question quite a bit, and I've found it to be a highly effective thing to ask people.
Yeah. I like that. Stop them in their tracks. Kind of that, it's a provoking question. And so, but what if there was not an answer, but what if there was a direction to go to explore what all that even means, you know? So you're saying I haven't interpreted my life accurately, or, you know, what, how does that even affect somebody if that's true? So King Me, you know, was and is a book about primarily the masculine journey. It's got 4 parts to it. The first part, first few chapters, we look at the heart of a king, because we really need to get Jesus kind of in his place as the King of Kings. What does that mean? And what does that look like? And I think the punchline in those first couple chapters is, if you don't want to be like Jesus, then something's probably not right. And so I think The Chosen has done a phenomenal job of inviting us to, I like that Jesus, or at least how that figure and depiction.
You can't take your eyes off that guy if you're watching the program.
And and they have made him, you know, very what the scriptures call God man, son of God, son of man. Mm. I mean, he is embodied in that character that they've brought to life in The Chosen. And, you know, it's very, very biblical, but it also brings that first century, you know, way to all of it. So anyway, Mike, that's the whole, if we're going to be good kings in our 40s, 50s, and 60s, which I'll talk about in a minute, we really need the poster that inspires us of an image that we bear that says, I want to be like him.
Mm.
And the beautiful thing about sanctification, right? There's a good Lutheran church term. And you're not, Lutherans aren't the only
ones. Can I get an amen?
Yeah, amen. So, you know, the good thing about sanctification is that's who we are becoming.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to see him in a light and in a way that really you understand there's training and there's something the Father is up to in his sons and daughters in, right, taking away the things that are in the way of being loved and helping the true you emerge, right? And getting those things off of you that aren't you. And really the enemy has done a number on all of us when we were So there's some introduction in that first part of the book about some of the story that our story's in. And if you, you know, any character, right, that that has some of those stories, like we brought up Neo in The Matrix, or, you know, Alice in Wonderland, or Dorothy in Oz, or, you know, the children, the Pevensey children in Narnia, they don't know kind of the larger environment, the larger space, and they're trying to get clarity and acclimation and understanding. And I think a lot of Christians, that's another part of the book early, is we really have to see the larger story that our story's in. Otherwise, it's going to be very challenging to walk with God intimately in that story.
You know, what's interesting is, and I'm kind of curious because I'm hearing this and I'm replaying some of the retreat weekends. And one of the things that you guys have brought into the retreat weekends that is just outstanding are movie clips.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is the story and that come out of those movies that is so applicable, you know, to our lives. And it's really kind of funny, Michael. I was over we flew into London and went to Ireland this summer, which was a fantastic trip. And now here's where you're really going to get envious. And I have to bring this up because, you know, quite honestly, it seems to me everybody's got a pretty favorite movie clip that you play at the retreats. So we pull up in the Meat District of London, and in that area is one of the oldest cathedrals, if not the oldest cathedral in London. And we just pull up, right? This guy's driving us. We pull up, and there's this plaque on the wall, and I'd hold it up, but nobody'd see it anyway. And it says Sir William Wallace.
Yeah.
And it was right in the area, as best they can figure out, where William Wallace was put to death. And then they had his funeral at the church. And I get out of the car and my eyes just got as, you know, and I'm like, whoa, do I know a lot of dudes who'd like to be standing here right now?
Man.
You know, and I took a picture and, William Wallace is one of those movie characters. It's one of those movie clips that just get everybody fired up at the retreats. But it's not just about getting fired up. It's about the story and the story of our lives. So talk about how you use movie clips really to set that up for people so that they can kind of, again, look in the mirror at themselves and go, okay, I've seen that movie clip, and maybe it's a moment where they go, oh, that's me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Great question. Big trade secret, right? We get to unveil a little bit of and you mentioned it, right, Mike? It's the power of story.
Oh man.
And how we resonate, you know? So I believe that there are these certain, you know, strings or chords in the hearts of image bearers.
Yeah.
Men and women. And that story has a way of touching those. It's why we buy the movies that we actually saw once and want to own it and want to watch it again and again. It's very important. Madeleine L'Engle, she says that story is the language of the heart. And so, you know, really the gospel from Genesis to Revelation, honestly, is a story.
Yeah.
It's a true story. It's the most true story. But, you know, sometimes over those years of church, and I got so familiar with the story that I could finish the phrases or the sentences as the pastor's reading, you know, Matthew 4 or John 9 or Corinthians. So those films, though, like Braveheart or Gladiator. What's the one that Ryan Reynolds was in not too long ago about Adam? The Adam Project.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
That's
I have not seen that yet.
Oh, bro, you got to get in it. So we've used that one recently and because it's that story, you know, of a time travel, if you will, and an older man visiting his younger boy. I mean, it's so in alignment with some of our conversation about going back in your story so you can go forward less encumbered by the things that happen to you. So the Adam Project was one of those, like when I'm watching it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the gospel. This is restoration. This is redemption. This is the interpretation of what my father did and didn't do, and the rewriting of it. Okay, that's enough of the Adam Project commercial. So anybody who, you know, I just highly recommend that story be entered into, because it touches a part of you that you relate to. You'll relate to the characters, the older, the younger, they're being hunted. You know, here comes the evil from the future is trying to, you know, not only thwart but take out, you know, Adam. Interesting, right? That it's Adam. You know, we have our Adam in Genesis,
right?
And it's the Adam Project, right? And so, very, very. I mean, Hollywood has been borrowing, and Disney has been stealing, you know, all the great elements of the great story, because good and evil, once upon a time, happily ever after, those are the things that we, you know, don't grow out of. And yet those can be the things that we deny our hearts the ability to connect with and resonate with. And
I think it's important, Michael. The movie introduction has done for me is I don't look at anything like that the same anymore. In fact, last night, my wife and I, we were doing a little catch up, doing a little rerun of Yellowstone, which is absolutely one of my favorite.
Is it?
Because I just, you know, it makes me want to be a cowboy. And there's a there is a scene in there, and one of the elder sages passes away while they're out, you know, getting cattle. He doesn't wake up. And I've seen this before, and I'm over there just tearing up. And it was the words. It was just the way everything played out. It was just the message, right? It was just so loving, so tender, the way another man treated another man in a situation where he didn't wake up, you know? And then he, you know, has got to go tell the guy's wife. And, you know, I think 6, 7, 8 years ago, I probably wouldn't have thought anything of it. But it's the tenderness of that moment and the words being said and how it's handled where you see Hollywood has really touched, you know, and brought in God. And
whether they know it or not, trying to write another version of The Chosen when they tell those stories. But when you confess that hit one of those heartstrings, that touched me, that moved me, you know, words like that. I mean, the kingdom of God is supposed to be like that for us. And so I think story, to your point and to mine, is you need to know your story.
Yeah.
You need to know the larger story, and you need to be able to pay attention to how you actually interact, you know, with stories, and whether they are a children's story. My wife and I discovered Charlie Mackesy a couple years ago, who wrote The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and the Horse. And this is short cartoon, 30 minutes. And it's on Apple TV. Another one before or after the Adam Project, right? And that's one you can watch with your kids, and you can watch with your family, and you'll just see, Mike, that there's certain stories that we keep telling over and over and over again. I've watched that cartoon, right? That animation with my adult girls, each one separately, to watch what it did to them.
Ooh,
and
wow.
It is a gospel animation story. It's and the author, the cartoonist, is very kind and loves Jesus. Very good man, but very effective at creating an invitation to feel deeply. And I think, you know, King Me, I write about Les Mis in King Me. I write about
Yeah.
I write about our Rudy. You know, yeah. I write about some of these classic stories.
I didn't. You know, Mike, that's such a great point. I did not. I remember the first time I went to go see Les Mis. It was a traveling Broadway thing. I didn't get it. I'm like, I got nothing. Now I can't get to it fast enough, right?
Yeah.
I'll watch it on television. I'll go to Broadway. I'm like, because I get the story of what's really going on there.
Right.
And it's incredibly impactful. Even Mr. Rogers. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, phenomenal. You know, the little did we know what Mr. Rogers was really talking about while we were growing up. And now as an adult, especially after I saw the movie and I even bought a book at a bookstore, Michael, entitled Everything I learned from Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers. Great.
And
before him, there was a book out before that one. There was a book, Mike, called The Most Important Things I Learned in Kindergarten. So, you know, I mean, it's probably a different author and all that. But to your point, I mean.
But we get away from this stuff. We get away from it, and it comes back in our adult lives. And you know, part of your the subtitle of King Me is loving and leading in a wounded world. And the problem is, we get away from the Mr. Rogers stuff, and somewhere along the line, we just become wounded. And it happens to virtually every one of us somewhere along the line. Something, you know, our hearts get wounded, and we forget about what Mr. Rogers was teaching us.
Yeah. That's kind of the middle spaces of King Me. You're teeing me up a little bit, but that's the journey, you know, masculine journey, to look at the feminine journey, to look at the journey that your heart's on and to recognize it has been wounding. It hasn't all been good. Even a good or a great mom and dad, you know, eventually you kind of get beyond their jurisdiction. You start to move into the jungle of middle school and high school. And now you've got all these other kids. And, you know, before there was social media, there was just the social culture of middle school and high school. It's still there, but all this stuff that plays out, you know, even on social media with likes and all the things that are very, very, there's a reason it's so attractive and attracting young hearts. But young hearts aren't the only one, man. I know dudes that, you know, their phone will tell them how much they're on it. They're engaged in their Instagrams and Facebooks and stuff. But I think there's a it's not a false sense. I don't want to say that much. But our desire to connect can really pull us into kind of a lesser way of connecting than real interaction and real being with and having conversations. You know, texting somebody, it's not the same as having a conversation with them, though you can connect.
Yeah.
It's just a different form of connecting. But that second part of the book is the journey of a king. So it's the heart of a king and the journey of a king. And it's just inviting a man to look back over the decades of his life. We call it developmental psychology in you know, university and high school spaces with those. Yeah, what is the developmental cycles that we go through? What do we need at each cycle? So we kind of dive into that, into the middle part of the book. And to your point, really shed as much light as we can on wounding moments that happen along our journey, people who were supposed to love and encourage and protect us. Man, some of them they dropped the ball, and that's putting it, you know, somewhat mildly in some cases. And so recovering from that is not usually as, the word recovery, we just often don't recover from that. We just find a way to try to soldier on, to just continue to to survive. And that's a far cry from Zoe, right? From life to the full.
Well, I think a lot of us, we don't know what we don't know. This is not a fault of our father or their, some things just seem to be kind of generational. We just pass them down from one person to the next.
Yeah.
And let's face it, a lot of our dads, when they grew up during a wartime era, they saw what they saw, they did what they did, and, a lot of loving people, but that doesn't mean that, that they we all right know or, what to do. Yeah.
Does it mean that everything they did was right or done well? And that's when you get into those later stages, especially in that the explore stage or the teenage years and the young 20s. I mean, it's amazing that, many of us survived, like we did, but yet the emotional scars or the emotional damage, the soul effect that you carry with you, in spaces of I'll never do that again, or I'll always, we call them vows and agreements. We'll make vows, and then we start to create an operating system of how to make life work and how to protect ourselves, which we've talked about, Mike in the conferences, but King Me had to write, revisit some of those things, break them down into these different segments of the masculine journey, and invite men particularly to look at what happened to me and how has it affected me. This goes back to our early question. So what are the odds you've interpreted your life accurately? So to give 50 pages to, all right, let's dive into that and explore that and help you even dive a little bit deeper into that and hopefully come to God again and again with this is what I found and I don't like this. I don't want this. How do we turn that in? How do we walk with God in a space for actual healing, not just, confession of sin, which is a good thing, for goodness sakes. But we're talking about before you started making some mistakes. What mistakes were made that affected you in the way of your heart and your journey? So I think, those middle chapters in King Me are, a bit of reflection and invitation to explore your story. There's some questions that kind of go along in that exploration, that if you'll go slow and with God, I believe he's going to help you discover some things that he would like for you to be free from. And he would like for you to turn them in for something else. If this isn't true about you and you don't want it, I think you can get some help. I think there's lots of ways to get deeper healing and deeper restoration. But some of the first real swings can become just seeing it. You have to see some of this stuff for yourself and bring that to God. And then now you're on a healing journey. Not just a survival journey. What does it look like to walk with him for healing and to recover and to be restored and to become who you really are in the kingdom? And that's that checker. When you talked about the checkers at the beginning, moving across the board, yes, surviving and becoming a new piece, becoming something else, getting that validation that every man and woman longs for from God. What if you could get that validation and then become something new? And that's the last part of the book, is what does that look like to live as a good king, protecting and providing well for the hearts of others, right? Loving and leading in a wounding world. So all of that is kind of where, those chapters and those parts of the book kind of move to.
Well, I could speak with I'm not there yet, but when you get crowned king and you've done a little work and you can move around the board a little easier, it's nice. So that's why I love the analogy. Such a simple game, but yet it has so much meaning to life.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Yeah. And at that stage, you become even all that more. We were talking earlier offline just a minute, but you become, yeah, you're hunted in a different way now. The enemy,
yeah.
If he can take a king out, it can be devastating to those under his care, to those entrusted to him to love. So it doesn't, you know, even though your responsibility, your privileges become, you get to move differently as a king, you know, so does the consequences if you don't, if you aren't able to defend against the enemy.
Yeah.
And model even what it is to walk intimately with God. That's what our marriages, that's what our families, our children need. What if they had a dad who could tell stories of intimacy with God? Not as a, you know, Bible study necessarily, or a you need to do this, but rather that's just kind of how a father could roll. Was, yeah, guys, you know, dinner table, I got to tell you what God did today. I got to tell you about this song. I'm driving down the road and he plays this song, and it was like it was just for me. I looked it up on my phone. Let me show you the words. Have you guys heard this song? And then, you know, you find out it's from Taylor Swift or something, which is awesome, because then you're then your seventh grade daughter's going to love that, you know, but I do this a little bit more.
It's funny you say I do this a little bit more frequently now, and it's usually met with, is he okay?
Yeah, he's really okay.
What's going on? What's the matter with this guy? You know, that's the beauty of getting involved in organizations like Zoe and attending these retreats and getting reading the material. And there's small groups covering the country now you can get connected with on Zoe's website. So I always encourage that. And if you don't even know where to start, certainly reach out to me and I'll steer you in the right direction. But this isn't about me. It's about you, Michael. So tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, how they get a hold of the book. Yeah. And get a hold of the podcast. Can be scary to listen to, guys. This is a true story, Michael. I dropped my daughter off at college. She's a freshman this year. And we get home from the drive and I said to my wife, I got to go for a walk. And sure enough, here's Michael and SJ on the podcast talking about Dangerous. And I thought, I listened to the whole podcast and I'm like, wait a second. I just dropped my daughter off at school. That's kind of dangerous, you know? So anyway, I say that to say this great podcast. And I want to encourage you guys to listen to that. So anyway, Michael, tell everybody how they can.
Yeah, we're going to take this podcast and, you know, transfer it over there on Exploring More, because we love you, Mike, love what you're doing. And yeah, we need more, you know, boots on the ground. We need more encouragement and resources. Guys need the equipping to do a very difficult job, right? To love well and to be loved well is really a critical beginning to that of loving well. So I love that we get to do this with you, Mike. And so Zoe.org, Zoweh, Zoe.org is our website. Lots of things that are there, downloadable, free things, devotionals. You can sign up for the daily orientation, which is excerpts from the book, and other team members who've written some really wonderful things to put in your inbox during the week. And yeah, the books, Amazon for King Me, you can get them on our website too. There's author resources and encouragement, journal workbooks. You can find these books on Audible. If you're an Audible, that's your deal. Then you can find King Me or Heart of a Warrior there. And yeah, I would, you know, say, man, come get away with God for a few days.
Oh, man, yeah.
The next one is April 25th in 2024. We'll be back at Goshen where you were. We love to partner with Young Life Camps, great environments there. So that's in Virginia. But we'll have 25 states represented, you know, 400 guys. And free time is, you know, nap time, fly fishing, shotguns, frisbee. And yet I think the ingredient that we learned that was most important, right, Mike, is time away with God, time alone with God. So we don't jam the weekend with sessions, even though it's a pretty full,
it's full
three and a half days. Yeah. I think the secret sauce is those 30-minute breaks where you're getting to just move slower, find a place to sit down and ask God a few questions and see what comes up, you know, see what he might have to say, see what, where he might take you. And so, yeah, that's how we would love to connect with your friends and your allies, your audience at True Man. And those are ways that, you know, we can build some bridges, bro. Really love to do that.
Amen to that. So go check out Zoe and Michael. This has been so awesome. I've been so looking forward to this. So it was great having you on today. Appreciate you being on the True Man podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome, Mike. Thanks for all you do, man. You're doing it well, and we're proud of you. And look forward to, let's get in some trouble together. Figure it out.
That we can do, brother. Okay, take care.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Well, I've had the great benefit of reading Michael Thompson's books, being involved in Zoe retreats, and I want to encourage you to jump on out to Zoe's website. We've got that in the show notes. Poke around out there. If you're a man right now and you're searching for a group and you're not sure where to go, they've got a lot of resources out there for you that'll help you find something virtually around the country. And if you don't find what you're looking for, hey, reach out to me. I will help you with some additional information. But being involved with some of these folks with Zoe and going to their retreats and gatherings, well, it's really helped shape me into the man that I am today. And I will tell you that when you get a taste of freedom and you know where, who, and what helped you get it, you just want to give back. So it was a pleasure to talk with Michael on the show today. The really cool part of all this is that you too can be shaped into the man that you want to be. And I think a lot of that comes down to coming together and working together to help each other in the kingdom. You know, the world, man, it is marked by individualism and competition. So the concept of men actively helping each other to thrive might seem counterintuitive, but it shouldn't. It shouldn't. We're built for this. And when we dive into the principles of unity, support, and brotherhood, you know, a powerful idea emerges, that of men as kingmakers for the kingdom of God. And my hope is that more men will come together to embrace the role of supporting and uplifting each other, creating communities where each individual is empowered to fulfill his purpose in service to God. I just think it's beautiful. And what I'm talking about here is really an invitation, a call to modern day brotherhood, if that's what you want to call it. You know, this foundation that's rooted in brotherhood from our religious teachings. And the common thread we have as believers is this emphasis on unity for mutual support among believers. You know, men, as stewards of this divine message, I urge you to go beyond more and experience more camaraderie and actively engage in building each other up and learning from each other. When we learn from each other, it makes us stronger. You know, men, by nature, we possess unique strengths and qualities that can be harnessed for the greater good. And we all have spiritual gifts and callings that are unique, and that's a good thing. And when men invest time and energy in nurturing the potential of their fellow brothers, well, it helps them to contribute to the development of strong leaders who can serve as pillars in the kingdom of God. Now, the concept of kingmaking extends beyond personal success to fostering leadership qualities that benefit us as men so that we can lead our families, communities, and organizations well. And in this modern world, men often face, you know, silent struggles of isolation, societal expectations coupled with the stigma surrounding vulnerability can lead to a sense of loneliness, even in the midst of being in a crowd or a group of people. You know, but by actively helping each other, helping men break down the walls of isolation and creating a supportive network where shared experiences and challenges can be openly discussed and overcome? Well, right there, that is a tenet of what Zoway has available and is able to help people with, and they help groups around the country understand that better so their groups can be stronger and we can all work in community together. It's all about community building, really, and helping each other grow together. Because the world of isolation, well, it is fraught with danger. And it's biblical that we live and support each other. Now, one of the challenges that we face is that traditionally men have been conditioned to suppress their emotions and maintain a stoic exterior. I encourage you not to do that. Don't wear a mask and fake it till you make it, trying to tough it out. Be authentic and be vulnerable and embrace emotional intelligence. That's essential for personal growth and spiritual well-being. You know, men serving as kingmakers for one another can provide a safe space for emotional expression, encouraging self-awareness and empathy, qualities that are all crucial for navigating the complex journey that we have towards the kingdom of God. And another thing I want to add here is the legacy of brotherhood. You know, kingmaking is not a one-time act, but a continuous process that creates a legacy of brotherhood. And when men invest in the success and well-being of their peers, they contribute to a cycle of positivity that extends beyond individual lifetimes. This legacy becomes a testament to the transformative power, unity, and support, inspiring future generations to continue the tradition of men as kingmakers. And finally, in a world that creates this strife, I'm just praying that men will come together, that we will roll up our sleeves and help each other understand our divine purpose and create a legacy of strength, compassion, and spiritual growth. Now, men, if you would like this kind of community, but you're not sure how to get it or what freedom even looks like for that matter, just reach out to me, Mike@TrueManLifeCoaching.com, and let's have a free initial conversation and talk about what that looks like. If you're not sure where to go to enjoy a men's community, reach out to me at Mike@TrueManLifeCoaching.com and we'll help you find one. That's what I'm here for. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the True Man Podcast. Now, if you did, please pass this show on to another man and leave us a great review. We always love to see those reviews. And I just want to thank again Michael Thompson from Zoway for being on the show. Now, until next week, go out and make this your very best day ever. Improve your life today with Mike Van Pelt and True Man Life Coaching. Let's develop a roadmap of discovery that leads to success and satisfaction in your life. For additional information and details on how to schedule an initial coaching call, go to TrueManLifeCoaching.com.